This is Glenn Hauser with World of Radio, 1790. World of Radio is a listener-supported public service program about communications around the world, above all, shortwave. On this edition, recorded September 10th, Alaska, Argentina, Bermuda, Biafra, Bolivia, Brazil, Colombia, Finland, Indonesia, Ireland, Liberia, Netherlands, North America, Papua New Guinea, Qatar, Russia, Sarawak, Taiwan, Tajikistan, UK, USA, Vietnam, and the Propagation Outlook. Standard disclaimer. Dave Oppert sends a story from the Anchorage Daily News of September 6th by Ned Rozelle. Under new management, Alaska's HAARP facility opened for business again. Instead of falling to the dozer blade, the high-frequency active auroral research program has new life. In mid-August, U.S. Air Force General Tom Mazziello shook hands with Brian Rogers and Bob McCoy of the University of Alaska at Fairbanks, transferring the powerful upper atmosphere research facility from the military to the university. HAARP is a group of high-frequency radio transmitters powered by four diesel tugboat generators and one from a locomotive. The transmitters send a focused beam of radio wave energy into the auroral zone. There, that energy can stimulate a speck of the electrical sun-earth connection about 100 miles above our heads. Why did university higher-ups swing the door back open for the conspiracy theorists? Why not let HAARP go quietly back to the boreal forest? Bob McCoy says even though it's esoteric and hard to understand, it's the best. He's head of UAF's Geophysical Institute, which now has the keys to the complex near Gakona, Alaska. The facility is the best tool to study a region above Earth we know little about. HAARP is now open, but the transmitters have been cool since spring of 2014. With a transfer from the military to the university, they're looking for new customers. None yet. But they're confident they will be able to pay back a $2 million loan from the University of Alaska statewide office. Rye, Argentina is being reported, at least in South America, with a much improved signal, varying around 15345. In the Radio Escudas group, Luis Shiny Neto in São Paulo says, on September 7th, very good audio quality, perhaps favorable propagation, but the signal has also improved a great deal. Another Brazilian in Londrina, Alexandre, says it's like a local signal. And Castro Santos in Goiás also says it's local quality with spectacular audio quality. Congratulations to this station. And much further away in Florida, Terry Kruger noted 15345.16. September 7th at 11:47 in Japanese and after 1200 in Portuguese with a clear, fair signal. This improvement should also apply to their evening frequency for the Americas, 11710.6 or 7 variable on weeknights only. Death knell for AM radio in Bermuda is the headline in bernews.com. Via Chris Dunn in Florida on the WTFDA AM forum. The last two AM stations, 1280 with the Bible Broadcasting Network from North Carolina and 1450 AM Gold, are going off the air at the end of September, along with one of their FM stations on 106.1. Specifically, the story from Burr News dated August 31 says, DeFontes Broadcasting Company will cease operations effective September 30th, and 19 staff will be affected. The statement said, after more than three decades of supplying the Bermuda community with radio and TV, DeFontes Broadcasting Company Limited will cease operations September 30th. In a letter given to staff, Mr. DeFontes offered his heartfelt thanks for all their hard work and loyalty through the past 34 years. The broadcasting landscape has created a major financial challenge, and he wished it could be otherwise, but it cannot. And Bruce Conti in the NRC Facebook group says Bermuda will be joining the growing list of radio countries no longer active on the AM broadcast band. Closure of the 1280 VSB2 relay of BBN and 1450 VSB1 Gold is expected September 30th. The 1160 VSB3 relay of the BBC World Service has been off since May due to transmitter maintenance issues and loss of sponsorship. Just back from a cruise to Bermuda, Ben Dangerfield of Pennsylvania in the National Radio Club adds that 1160 is a constant open carrier, as if the frequency will again be in use. More about the revived clandestine I mentioned last week, Radio Biafra on 15560 at 18 to 20 UT. Many observations of it during the following week show that it has been rather irregular. And there is a transmission break just before 18 UT from the Deutsche Welle relay, which we know is via France. And due to this irregularity and even a variable frequency, it now seems unlikely the transmitter site is France, but we still don't know where it's really coming from. The absences might be explained by propagation disturbances. Jose Miguel Romero in Spain was not hearing it on Saturday, September 5th. On Sunday the 6th, however, Richard Langley in New Brunswick says he was getting it. He recorded the entire transmission and even more before and after. Deutsche Welle in French from France between 17 and 18 had a fairly good signal. Radio Biafra signed on within a second or so of 18 with a much weaker signal and began with African music for about 5 minutes, then 5 minutes of dead air and more African music. The formal start of the program with part of Sibelius Finlandia and the Biafran national anthem, Land of the Rising Sun, was at 18:11, but only a bit of the anthem was played and not a longer version he had heard before. It turned out this was a live broadcast from the World Igbo Conference in Los Angeles. The hardcore DX Daniel Williams in Mato Grosso reports hearing Bolivia's Radio Fides on 6055, apparently off frequency from the usual 6155. This was September 6th at 2140. And Daniel Williams has more news about Brazil itself. He reports a relay of Radio Integração 99.9 FM heard on 4765 at 0320 UT September 6th with Sertaneja music. He was getting this instead of Radio Progresso in Cuba. He also says on 4785 Radio Brasil in the city of Campinas has been reactivated. Not to be confused with Radio Cairi, also listed on that frequency, which also may be active. Another Brazilian tropical frequency with two stations on the air at the same time, but not always, is 4885. As I mentioned last week, Radio Difusora Acreana in Rio Branco is reported August 28th at 2311 by Daniel Williams, as well as by Rodolfo Tizzi in Uruguay August 31st at midnight 46. In New South Wales, David Sharp was listening at 0910 UT on September 3rd and hearing both stations battling it out. Radio Difusora Acreana on top with ballads and weekly underneath it, a station talking, presumably Radio Clube do Pará. Shortly following our report last week about why two Colombians were off the air from 6010 and 5910, one of them reappeared. I heard it September 7th at 0550. On 6010.1 approximately, an ID at 552 for La Voz de tu Conciencia. It may have been only a test. Rafael Rodriguez in Bogota is checking it out. He says he tunes the frequencies every night around midnight UT and had not been hearing either that or 5910. As I mentioned last week, Radio Space Shuttle, originating in Finland with an address in Holland and broadcasting via Bulgaria, was promoting its Sunday, September 6th broadcast as very special. In fact, he further revealed, that is, Dick Spacewalker did, that was to be his last shortwave broadcast, at least for the time being, 19 to 20 UT on 13600. However, it was a no-show. As many noticed, including Alan Rowe in the UK, there was a carrier until just after 1920 UT, but no audio. And then he heard from Dick Spacewalker. There was a problem at the transmitter, and he hopes the final broadcast will be rescheduled for a later date. Dr. Derek Lynch in Ireland reports about the revived Voice of Indonesia, in English, 9526, on September 2nd at 1735 UT. They were in English just after 18, not the scheduled time, but he says that's so much better than at 19 UT when Indonesia is blotted out by China Radio International in Russian. He says, I know they have to cater for German, Spanish, and other languages, but I really do hope Indonesia can find a slot before 19 UT for English. There's no point in coming back on shortwave if the time slot involves an unwinnable clash with China. But on September 8th, he says, I noticed they've switched back into the usual Spanish and German since then. I've communicated with them many times about the useless 19-hour slot, but to no avail. I suspect Voice of Indonesia program staff are probably only vaguely aware of shortwave reception issues and frequency planning. Ron Howard in California has also been monitoring VOI, about 20 hertz below 9526. On Monday, September 7th at 13 UT, there was another exotic Indonesia program, co-produced with Bukit Tinggi, West Sumatra. However, on other dates, there were anomalies, such as September 8th at 11, an open carrier, September 4th at 10, going into French instead of English, and some very faint English audio September 9th, but unusable, at 10:07. On short notice, but thanks to Jose Miguel Romero and Mike Terry, we got advance word of the annual shortwave specials from RTE in Ireland to broadcast live something very important in that country, it seems, the hurling final. This was Sunday, September 6th, between 12 and 16 UT, on 9470 to East and North Africa, and 17540 to Southern Africa. The RTE website, of course, didn't bother to specify the transmitter sites. Normally, another special shortwave broadcast follows at exactly the same time, one fortnight later, the All-Ireland football final. And in the British Theatre Club, Alan Pennington confirms that will be the case Sunday, September 20th. However, European monitors were not having any luck hearing 9470 and rather poor reception, generally on 17540. Wolfgang Büschel thinks that 9470 was via the UAE site and 17540 via Wolverton, UK, which of course would skip over much of Western Europe. Manuel Mendez in Spain notes ELWA radio in Liberia on the air again, 6050, heard September 6th signing on at 0532 with religious songs and talk in English, but quite a weak signal until 0547. European listeners are lamenting the demolition of the medium wave mast in Lopik, Holland on 675 kilohertz. It happened on September 4th. Mike Terry says it used to cover much of South and Southeast England. For two Sunday evenings in a row, I was hearing a relay of the International Radio Report from CKUT in Montreal on a pirate transmitter around 6950, such as September 7th at 0248. I asked Sheldon Harvey about this, and he says, I don't know anything official about the relay. I have seen reports of it on the pirate boards, but I have no idea who is behind it. It is certainly not anyone associated with the program. It may be just someone having some fun. And in the new September issue of CIDX Messenger, there is a QSL report about it. The International Radio Report airs originally on 90.3 at 1430 UT Sundays. But the pirate, calling itself CKUT Shortwave, is using an email address of irrckut@gmail.com and even issuing EQSLs for these unauthorized relays, signed by Bill Westenhauser. Reception seems best in the northeastern part of North America. That's from Chris Lobdell's Pirate Column. The media magazine you monitor with your mind, World of Radio, 1790. Coordinated with our website, worldofradio.com, and the latest issue of DX Listening Digest. Financial support is always welcome to keep these enterprises going. Voluntary contributions may be sent via PayPal, not necessarily in U.S. funds, to WORADIO at yahoo.com, or by check or money order in U.S. funds on a U.S. bank to P.O. Box 1684, ENID OK, 73702. Last week I mentioned that one of the Chinese transmitters is in a maintenance break, including 7325 between 10 and 13 UT, which ought to uncover the frequency for the 1 kilowatt One Talk radio light in Papua New Guinea, but I thought it was not active. Well, I've since found one fairly recent report of it, so it's worth checking. This was August 19th at 10:04 UT. According to Rob Emanuel in New South Wales, Australian DX News, a poor signal, he says, but recognizable. Dr. Hans-Jörg Biener in Germany continues to investigate countries which are webcasting, especially if they're not shortwave casting. And we come to Qatar. He's found the web portal to official Qatari radio stations. The web portal is www.qatarbroadcast.qa/index-en.html. That provides access to 6 official television channels, one of them still testing, and 6 radio stations, including 2 channels in English. It started with 1 hour in 1971. On the website QBS Radio, the on-air IDs as Qatar Radio, and also in French, Oryx FM, a joint project with RFI, which was established in 2011. That communist pirate in Russia on 6990 Radio Comintern is getting out pretty well. Guesses that its power have ranged from 100 watts to 100 kilowatts. But in Australian DX News, David Foster says the station claims to be about 1,000 watts. It's in the southern Voronezh region, heard on August 6th at 16:58 with a rather declamatory speech style and instrumental music in the background. It went off at exactly 1,800 as scheduled, said to be an illegal station with communist sympathies. Ruman Pankov, much closer in Bulgaria, heard it August 25th at 15:53 until off at 18:01 with mainly military songs like We Will Go to War at 15:54 and a speech in Russian at 16:55 followed by songs. Furthermore, it's reported from New Zealand in DX Times by John Durham the 7th of August at 17:12 at a rather poor level. Singing and talk in Russian faded by 17:40. It's scheduled at 16 to 18 weekdays in Russian. He says at 17:12 with patriotic music and a male announcer who spoke with much passion and feeling. And he already got a QSL for report emailed to 050353@mail.ru. Ron Howard in California is still hearing Radio Free Sarawak on 15425. September 4th at 10:29 music, intro in vernacular at 10:30, still with no jamming. He says it started poor, but by 11:09 was fair with phone conversations. The SESQR broadcast until 1200 is weekdays only, and the site is presumably via RVA in the Philippines. And Ron Howard updates us on Voice of Han in Taiwan, 9745, also known as Voice of Kuanghua. According to last April's WRTH update, it was inactive but expected to return after antenna maintenance. However, as of September 9th, still missing from 9745. From WRTH Facebook via Rusty X, Mauno Ritola in Finland says that according to shortwave schedules via Auki, BBC Uzbek is on a new frequency via Tajikistan 4790, daily from 13 until 1330 UT. That was as of September 2nd. No reports yet of it being jammed, but it surely will be, courtesy of the Chi-Com. Several press reports about expansions and contractions at the BBC World Service Chuck Albertson sends one from The Guardian of September 5th. BBC to propose expansion of World Service and cuts elsewhere. And via Stephen Cooper, another story from The Guardian, headline, BBC plans TV and radio services for Russia and North Korea, set to unveil a significant expansion, including potentially a satellite TV service for Russian speakers and a daily radio news program for North Korea. Stephen Luce in Texas says more shortwave also proposed for Ethiopia and Eritrea. Of course, this could mean more shortwave cutbacks elsewhere as the budget is still tight. And Mike Bearcliff in England says, it was a mere 20 months ago that the World Service Board rejected proposals to broadcast to North Korea, giving four specific reasons. What has changed? Skip Aries' Ham column in the September CIDX Messenger highlights special event station of the month. The 2015 Route 66 on the Air special event, which runs 24 hours a day from September 12th to 20th. Suggested frequencies end in 66, 28466, 14266, 7266, and 3866. A certificate in QSL available from the Citrus Belt Amateur Radio Club, PO Box 3788 in San Bernardino, California, 92413. This is the 16th year for the annual event. Celebrate the history of the Mother Road, the great highway that helped build America. There are 21 clubs across the nation participating using the call signs of only three characters, W6A through W6U. More details on the rules, frequencies, and QSL information at www.w6julietbravotango.org. Here's a second harmonic of a U.S. shortwave station, WWRB, on exactly 10,100 kHz. Heard September 4th at midnight 32. Quite weak, but matchable to 5050, carrying, of course, nothing but brother's scare. I heard it again September 7th at 0225, when it was a bit stronger at S2. No problem recognizing what it was. And checking the very strong 30 over 9 fundamental, I noticed the S meter varying slightly with modulation, which reveals it is not a pure AM signal, though it sounds like one. On Alan Weiner Worldwide Live, September 5th on WBCQ 7490, Mark Sills in Dallas called in and asked for World of Radio to be aired some evening on 9330, which has a much better signal for him in Dallas than 7490 in the afternoon. And Alan said, how about Wednesdays at 9 p.m. Eastern Time? Hearing this, I suggested he make it Thursdays instead, when there could be a brand new program instead of a week-old program, but I've yet to have any confirmation that this will be happening at either time. So, tune in at 0100 UT Thursday and Friday to see if you hear World of Radio on 9330. Hearing Las Vegas, Nevada 50 kilowatt AM stations is very unusual here to the east because of their directional patterns. But it happens occasionally. September 5th at 12 UT, I got an ID for KDWN on 720, a Beasley Group radio station. It's supposed to have a deep cardioid null toward WGN Chicago at night, and this was still nighttime in Las Vegas. The day pattern, however, is non-directional. Still, there may have been some signal leaking around the null, since we're not exactly between them and Chicago. Hearing that, I checked for the other 50 kilowatter on 840, KXNT, and by golly, I heard it with CBS News at 1202, but it was cut short for some vitamin show. That one is even more unusual, since the NRC pattern book shows both day and night they have a major lobe to the south-southwest and a lesser lobe to the north, with only itty-bitty lobes to the east and west, making me wonder if they were really on non-directional for some reason. September 9th, around 0630 UT, I was having a musical station interfering with KRLD 1080 Dallas, which is not usually the case. Steve Zimmerman in Milwaukee says it's KYMN 1080 in Northfield, Minnesota, which he's been hearing, even though they're supposedly only 10 watts at night, 1 kilowatt day power with a wide-ranging music format such as jazz, blues, and oldies. He was getting it September 5th around 0500, and also September 9th around 0430. Also about the same time, one channel up on 1090, I was getting a station with Red Eye Radio looping north-south, separable from Brother Scare via Little Rock from the east. According to listings and the direction, this must be KTGO in Tioga, North Dakota, which is supposedly 6 watts at night, 1100 watts day power. And a little further up the dial again on 1110, another daytime station running at night, and this one is the full banana 50 kilowatts, says Kevin Redding in Tennessee, ABDX, KVTT in Mineral Wells, Texas, playing all kinds of Asian music, September 7th at 0143. And then it was heard by many others, especially to the east, Bob Smoke in South Carolina. A monster signal, says Juan Gualda in Florida. Tim Hall in California could not hear it. But it was also heard in Florida, Palm Coast, by Ron Gitcher. Artie Bigley forwards on September 9th an item from RadioInsight.com that Intercom has flipped 1660 KUDL Kansas City from business news to sports as 1660 The Score. It was formerly branded as KMBZ Business Channel. Now they have both Fox Sports and CBS Sports programming at night. KCSP is already 610 Sports in the Kansas City market. That's too bad. I used to listen to it when it was carrying Bloomberg Biz, often with BBC quality foreign news. And that now makes the fifth sports talk station on 1660 after Michigan, North Carolina, North Dakota, and Texas. So be careful with your IDs. There's a relatively new service in Vietnamese called E-Bible Fellowship, broadcast via Taiwan on 9690. In Australian DX News, David Foster says it suddenly went off at 11:58 UT. August 16th, it had replaced 9625. He says, May 21st, 2011 was not the end of the world, as Family Radio's Harold Camping tried to convince us. But according to E-Bible Fellowship, it was Spiritual Judgment Day, and any hope of salvation ended. Now, E-Bible Fellowship is announcing that there is a strong likelihood the world will end on 7 October 2015. So mark your calendars. Their message is to inform the saved and let the rest of us know there is no hope. The Vietnamese must especially need this message, says David Foster. This just in from Pirate Specialist Chris Malinsky in Maryland. Since 2252 UT September 9th, I've been hearing what could be a Cuban on 6870 AM. Latin music and talk in Spanish, mentioning Cuba. At first I thought a pirate, but it's been on for a while. Considerable fading, varying SIO 111 to 333. The propagation outlook from Mulder. Geomagnetic field unsettled with active periods on September 12th, 19th, 24th. Possible minor storms on September 19th and October 1st, with A and Candace's peaking at 20 and 5 and 18 and 5. Solar flux rising from 85 September 10th to 115 by September 18th. Glenn Hauser concluding World of Radio, 1790.